ברוכים הבאים. Welcome. We are studying Parashat Vayechi, the last parasha in Sefer Bereshit. This, of course, is the Shabbat that we refer to as Shabbat Hazak. Whenever we finish a Sefer, the custom is at the end of the Sefer we say Hazak, Hazak, Benet Hazek, that God should give us strength, that just like we were able to complete one Sefer and learn it, so we should have further strength to go further in the study of the Torah in good health and good spirit. Amen. Our parasha is called Vayechi because of the first word of the parasha. Vayechi Yaakov Be'eretz Mitzrayim Sheva Esle Shana. Torah tells us that after 130 years, Yaakov Avinu moves to Egypt. This would begin the Galut of Mitzrayim. And the Torah tells us that he lived in Egypt for 17 years. There is a Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim comes along and says, Vayechi Yaakov. Yaakov lived the amount of years of the numerical value of Vayechi. Why? Yaakov Avinu, we know, had a difficult life. He had troubles with his daughter Dinah. He had troubles with his father-in-law Laban. He had troubles with his brother Esav. He had troubles with his son Yosef that was sold. The only years that Yaakov Avinu at peace when Yosef was born for the first 17 years. It says that at 17 Yosef was sold, but for those 17 years Yaakov Avinu was able to teach Yosef all the Torah. He was Ben Zikunim. And then for the years in between he suffered again. And the last 17 years he was reunited with Yosef. So 17 and 17 is 34. The numerical value of the word Vayechi, let's figure it out if it's right. Vav and Yud is 16, and Het is 8, that's 24, and Yud is 10, that's 34. So the Baal HaTurim says, Vayechi Yaakov. Yaakov's life, the main years of his life, was the 34 years. The 17 years from when Yosef was born till he was sold, and then Vayechi Yaakov Be'eretz Mitzrayim Sheva Esle Shana, the last 17 years of his life. I would like to say over what the great Rabbi Meshech Chochmah says on this pasuk. Meshech Chochmah was the great rabbi called Meir Simcha Kohen Medvinsk, the Baal Or Sameach. He says, what do you have to tell me about Yaakov Be'eretz Mitzrayim? I know he was in Mitzrayim. We all know that he went out to Mitzrayim. That we learned already in the last parasha. The whole family went out to Mitzrayim. Why does the pasuk have to tell me that he was living in Mitzrayim? So he says, Ha'anyan, the subject is, Sheha'adam, there's different types of people. Yesh Shehad Shehai La'atzmo. There's certain people that have very little influence on anybody around them, except for themselves. V'yesh shehai l'bnei beto. There are those that are a little more large. Their influence at least is on their family. V'yesh shehai l'iro. And there's somebody that's even more influential. His influence spans even the city that he lives in. V'yesh shehai l'chol ha'olam. And then you have the tzaddik. The tzaddik's influence is not only for himself and for his family and for his city, but his influence is for the entire country and indeed for the entire world. Like the pasuk says, "Besadiq yisod olam." The Sadiq is the foundation of the entire world. So the pasuk is telling it like this: although Yaakov Avinu, in a micro sense, he lived in Goshen, that's the name of his city, but Yaakov's influence was not only in Goshen. Vayechi Yaakov, the life of Yaakov and his influence was Be'eretz Mitzrayim. His influence would impact the entire of Egypt. And we know that. From the time that Yaakov Avinu came down to Mitzrayim, the famine ended. And all of a sudden, they expected 5 more years of famine. The famine ended on a dime. Not only was there no famine, but there was prosperity. And everybody knew that it was a result of Yaakov Avinu. And therefore, he comes along and he says that when Yaakov Avinu would die, so the Egyptians would bury him. They would actually attend the funeral. And at the funeral, the Pasuk says, Avel kaved zel Mitzrayim. It was a heavy mourning period, not only for Yaakov's children, but Avel kaved le Mitzrayim. Why? He says, Ma she'en hakeved b'Mitzrayim. The fact that he wasn't buried in Egypt, because the Hakamim say that even after the Tzaddik passes away, in the place that he's buried, there's Beracha. The Tzaddik, even in his passing, brings Beracha. So the Egyptians were crying, number one, that Yaakov Avinu passed away, and number two, that they didn't merit to have even his remains be buried in Mitzrayim. That's how impactful Yaakov Avinu was. I'd like to make an observation on a pasuk. The Mishnah Chokma doesn't say this. I'm saying it. It says that when the Egyptians mourned him in Perek Nun, pasuk Yud, Vayavo'u Adgorin Ha'atad, they came to a place. I'm not familiar with this place. It's called Gorin Ha'atad. So the Torah tells us, Asher Be'ever HaYarden, it's on the other side of the Jordan. Vayispedu Sham, Misped Gadol Vechaved Me'od. And it was over there that they gave Yaakov a great eulogy. Why over there? Why specifically? In Gorin Ha'atad. Don't ask me where it is. But the Torah says, Asher Be'ever HaYarden, it's on the other side of the Jordan. Based on the Meshech Chokhmah, now I understand. Once they took the body of Yaakov across the Jordan, they took him into Eretz Yisrael. Now the Egyptians realized he's not going to be buried in Mitzrayim. So the Pasuk says, Asher Be'ever HaYarden, once he was taken across the Jordan, Vayispedu Sham Misped Gadol Mechaved Me'od, Eved Kaved LeMitzrayim. So that's the legacy of Yaakov Avinu and his impact that he had. And that's the simple interpretation about Pesukim. Yaakov's quality years, the quality years were 34. His impact was not only where he lived in Goshen, but the whole country felt Yaakov Avinu's presence. When he died, they mourned him, Avel Kaved. However, I'd like to explain these Pesukim based on a tradition that we have when we study the Torah, and that's the principle of Simuchim. Our Torah could be studied in many different formulas. Today I chose the formula that's called Simuchim. What is this formula? The Torah was written to be learned not only in its place, but you're allowed to learn why was it placed next to its neighbors. You're allowed to read the Pasuk before and say, what does this Pasuk have to do with the next Pasuk? That's called Simuchim. You can't learn other books like that. But the Torah is so divine, obviously, that every word is placed next to each other for a reason. So I asked myself, the last word of last week's parasha is what? Oh, you forgot already last week's parasha. That's a week ago. But I have a chumash in front of me. The last word of last week's parasha is me'od. Me'od. And the beginning of this week's parasha is Vayichi Yaakov. Me'od, me'od I guess is a lot. Vayichi Yaakov. Using the system of Simuchim, is there a connection between the word me'od and Vayichi Yaakov? Well, to my good fortune, I have a sefer over here that's called Mahsof HaLavan. Mahsof HaLavan was written by the great Kabbalist, Rabbi Yaakov Abu Hasera, Zecher Tzaddik Mekadosh Bebracha. One time, on one of my trips to the city of Nahariya, I visited the great Kabbalist, as I do on my trips, Rabbi David Abu Hasera. May he live and be well. And he heard that I give Dirashot. He said, would you give Dirashot in the name of my grandfather if I give you his books? I said, absolutely. And he delivered me, he shipped to me a set of these books. It's maybe 10 sets, or 10 volumes. And I know that he was paying attention, Rabbi David, because a few years later I had quoted the book. And when I came to visit him the next time, he said, I heard you quoted my grandfather in the shiur. Now, you know, there's two ways he can know that. He can know that somebody told him, or he can know it because he just knows it. I choose the latter. In any event, Rabbi Yaakov Abu Hasera says over something incredible. The Gemara says that after Adam HaRishon committed his sin, you know, now we're going to connect the beginning of the book to the end of the book. I know we're at the end of the book, but we can go to the beginning of the book. When Adam HaRishon committed his sin, that fateful sin, the sin that we're still paying for, it says he made teshuvah. He made an excessive teshuvah. And the teshuvah, the Gemara Eruvin says, on page 18, lasted for 130 years. It says he fasted, and he punished his body and mutilated his body, rolling into the twigs, into the vines, into the bushes. 130 years, and then it mitigated his punishment. So says the Mekubalim, based on the Gemara, that Yaakov Abinu Alav Shalom, as well as the rest of the Avot, Avram and Yitzhak, they also were involved in Tikkun HaChet of Adam HaRishon. That was their purpose in life. They knew that if they could rectify the sin of Adam HaRishon, however you do that, they can speed the coming of the Mashiach. And of course Avraham did it, and Yaakov Abinu, and Yitzhak did it. But nobody succeeded at making the Tikkun of Adam HaRishon more than Yaakov Abinu. And the Gemara brings two proofs to this. One proof, if we just learned the quality years of Yaakov were at the end of his life, the last 17 years that he lived with his son. Those last years, Vayechi Yaakov, he had a good life at the end, the last 17. How many years did Yaakov Abinu live? 147. The last 17, Vayechi Yaakov, the last 17 he enjoyed, but the first 130, he had a difficult life. And the Mekubalim write that those 130 of Yaakov were corresponding to the 130 of Adam HaRishon that also was involved in the Tikkun. The Gemara actually says, Shufre de Yaakov Abinu, the beauty and the handsomeness of Yaakov Abinu, me'en shufre de Adam HaRishon. If you looked at Yaakov Abinu and you looked at Adam HaRishon, you saw a certain spiritual comparison. Furthermore, Yaakov Abinu would pass away in this week's Perashah. But nowhere does it say he died. It does not say it. As a matter of fact, the Gemara Ta'anit says, very good. As a matter of fact, the Gemara Ta'anit says, Yaakov Abinu lo met. He did not die. Because since his whole purpose was to rectify the sin of Adam HaRishon, and what did Adam HaRishon bring to the world? Death. And therefore the Torah says that Yaakov Abinu was very, very close to the rectification. At least himself, he made the tikkun of Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon brought met to the world. And Yaakov Abinu was able to rectify lo met. Says the Yaakov Abu Hasera, and I quote, Vehineh, parashazu setuma. Ladies, how am I going to explain this to you? It's a shame that you're not able to see the Sefer Torah up close. But if you were able to, you'd notice that something is incredibly different about the way this parashah is written than all other parashiyot. Most, if not all, parashiyot begin in a new paragraph. It's always easy to find a parashah. You just look for the new paragraph and it begins. Whereas parashat Vayechi is in the middle of a paragraph. There is no space. It's just a run-on. It just continues from the end of the parasha. It just continues. It's called parasha situma. It's closed. From here, Rabbi Yaakov says, the fact that it did not indent, when we were in school, they used to teach us to indent when you start a new paragraph. The Torah does not indent. The Torah continues, so must be there's a connection between the last word and the first word. That's why there's no separation. And he says, Usmucha mamash. It is absolutely bordering Tevat Me'od. The word Me'od. Shebesof Vayigash. The end of Vayigash. L'tevat Vayichi. To the word Vayichi Shebirosh HaParasha. Ukvar Katavnu B'makom Acher. He's already told you this. The Yaakov Avinu Alav HaShalom Tiken Chet Adam HaRishon. Yaakov Avinu would rectify the sin of Adam HaRishon. Yoter Mimash Tiknu Abotav Avram V'Yitzchak. Even more so than Avram V'Yitzchak. V'ze Ta'am Semichu Tevat Me'od L'Tevat Vayichi. Because if you take the letters Me'od, ladies, very good. The three letters Me'od also can be boggled to spell the word Adam. The Tevat Me'od Hi Otiyot Adam. Lomar, to say, Mi Tiken Adam Me'od Vegaram Lo Hayim. Who is the one that brought life to Adam? Meaning that fixed him. Hu Yaakov. Veze Me'od Vayhi Yaakov. As if to say, Kelomar, Mi Garam Vayhi Adam. Who caused Adam to live? Yaakov. So therefore you read the Pesukim like this. Me'od Vayhi. Kama. Me'od Vayhi. Who's Me'od? Me'od is Adam. Adam would be rectified. Me'od Vayhi. Who rectified Adam? Kama. Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu. So you see, at least the way these rabbis learned the parasha, it's much more deep than what we see over here. The Torah, for some reason, at this point, starts to tell us about the tikkun of Adam HaRishon that was done by Yaakov Avinu. I will point out, just for those that are interested, Rav Hida, our great rabbi, Rabbi Chaim Yosef Azulai, David Azulai, in his Sefer Nachal Kidumim, also makes this point of the tikkun of Adam and the tikkun of Yaakov Avinu. I made the following observation. I learned from my rabbis. After every parasha, there's a haftarah. Haftarah is a piece of the prophets. There's always a connection between what's written in the haftarah and the parasha. It's our obligation to always make that connection. Most of the time, it's obvious, and you don't need a rabbi to come and point it out. It's very clear. For example, on Hanukkah, the haftarah we read is about the lighting of the menorah and the Beit HaMikdash. You don't need to come and tell you the connection between Hanukkah and the lighting of the menorah. It's obvious. And most of the haftarot are as such. Well, what does our parasha talk about? Yaakov Avinu. So I looked at the haftarah. I didn't know where it can go. Talks about his demise also. Talks about the blessings that he gave his children. I opened the haftarah, and to my shock, Vayikribu Yemei David Lamut. The haftarah talks about the last days of David HaMelech, alav hashalom. David HaMelech, King David. Yaakov Avinu wasn't a king. He was a Sadiq. I'll give you that. That's what David and Yaakov have in common. I also agree, Yaakov Avinu is probably his great-great-great-great-grandfather. They're related, as we are. But what's the connection that the Haftarah all of a sudden decides to tell us about David HaMelech, alav hashalom, and, of course, his son, Shlomo? But what's obvious to you ladies was not so obvious to me. It took me a long while to try to figure out this connection. But maybe if you leave me your numbers, I'll call you. You can help me prepare these shiurim. These are not... It doesn't come easy for me preparing these shiurim. I'll tell you that much. That's what I'm telling you. What comes easy to many of you does not come as easy for me. I struggle to try to figure out these mysteries. In any event, I did find a piece of Zohar. I'm sure that's what you're referring to, the Zohar. The Zohar is in Parashat Vayishlach. It's not even in this week's Parashah. And Daf Kuf Samech Het. Here the Zohar Kadosh says, two means furthermore. Avahan Shavkule Mehayehon Kol Had Vehad. The Gemara, or the Zohar Obe, is discussing the life of David. I'm sure all of you heard once before that David's life was actually blank. He didn't have a life. In heaven, for whatever reason, they only allotted for him a few hours. So if somebody was willing to donate some time to David, that would have been fine. But if nobody's willing to donate, then he's not going to have life. So the Zohar HaKadosh tells us, lucky was David that he found donors. This is not only an old story. This story repeats itself throughout history. I used to study with a great tzaddik, Rav Chaim Brim, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, and his wife was a tzaddik as well. There were tzaddikim in Yerushalayim. And his wife was very, very sick. Rav Chaim went to one of the Gedolim of Yerushalayim, and he begged him to give a beracha to the Rebbetzin. And he said, he doesn't know if he can give such a beracha. And Rav Chaim pressed him, and then he said, if you can get me a list of 50 people that are willing to donate 1 year to the Rebbetzin, maybe I could do something. And Rav Chaim went around Jerusalem, and he came back eventually with a list of 50 people that were willing to give a year to the Rebbetzin. The great rabbi looked at it. I have to remember who he went to. And he looked at the list, and he said, I have good news. The Gezerah is off your wife, she has life, and all those that gave, they will not lose anything. The mere fact that they were willing to give a life to the tzaddiket already took the gezerah off. The story ends that the Rebbetzin would live 50 years exactly to the day that beracha was given. So you see that even in the modern time, they donate years. Last year we were in Raden by the Hafetz Chaim, right where the Hafetz Chaim is buried. One of his students is buried, the Granat of Naftali Trupp, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. Naftali Trupp was sick in the yeshiva of the Hafetz Chaim, and everybody started to donate time of their own life to Rav Naftali Trupp. So and then when they came to the Hafetz Chaim, they said, Rabbi, how much do you want to donate? He said, I'll give a second. They said, a second? He said, you don't appreciate what life is. He says, a second of life is a lot. Hafetz Chaim was trying to teach his students the value of time. In any event, this concept of donating and finding donors did not start with Rav Chaim Brim's wife, and it did not start with Rav Naftali Trupp. It actually started with David HaMelech. Now, he wasn't able to go solicit sponsors for his own life because he wasn't born yet. But the tzaddikim knew about this neshama that was in need of time, and therefore they made a campaign amongst themselves, the tzaddikim. We make campaigns for money. They actually made campaigns donating pieces of their life to David. So the question is, who were these sponsors? Do we know them? So the Zohar HaKadosh says, two, Avraham, the Avot, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Shavkune Mehayihon Kolhad Behad. Each one of the Avot gave a piece of their life to David HaMelech Alav HaShalom. And the Zohar explains how. Avraham Shavakle V'chen Yaakov V'Yosef. The three sponsors were Avraham, Yitzhak, no, Yaakov was a sponsor, and Yosef. Vadai Avraham Shavak Lehamesh Shanim. Avraham was supposed to live to 180. He did not live to 180. He lived to 175. He donated 5 years to David HaMelech. Dehav alel etkayema me'ah utmanim shanim. He should have lived 180. Vitkayam me'ah v'shivim v'hamesh shanim. Hasirim hamesh. Yaakov habedel leitkayema be'alma ki yomed Avraham. Yaakov Abinu should have lived the same amount of years as his grandfather, which means he should have lived until 175, at least like his grandfather, but he only lived to 147. So there were years that were different. Ve'la itkayim ela me'avar ma'im v'sheva shanim. Hasirin temanya ve'esrin. 28 year difference between 147 and 175. So now you have 28 years from Yaakov Abinu. You have 5 years from Avraham. So that's 33. Ishtekahu, the Abraham ve'Yaakov, between both of them. Shevaku lehem hayehon. They donated from their lives telatin utlat shenim, 33 years. Yosef HaSadiq, he lived to 110. He should have lived at least as old as his father. His father lived to 147. So therefore, how many years was Yosef shorter? Habadel itkayima me'avarvayim v'sheva. Kemu yomed Yaakov. V'hasir minyon tlatin v'sheva. He's missing 37. Take 37 years from Yosef and the 33 years from Avraham and Yaakov. Ha-shiv'im shenim de-sheva kule le-David malka le-tkayema behon. So according to the Zohar HaKadosh, the Zohar said the sponsors were not the sponsor who you thought. I know I heard an echo of somebody else, but the Zohar doesn't say that. The Zohar says the sponsors for David's life were 70 years that were collected by Avraham, Yaakov, and Yosef. Ladies, I'm well aware that there are other opinions, and I'll get to it. But if I tell you the opinion that you know, then you say, oh, we know that. And when I tell you the opinion that you don't know, you also complain. So it's impossible to win in this with this group over here. No matter what I tell you, you have a claim. I'm telling you first what the Zohar HaKadosh says. First you have to accept it. Say shehayanu v'kiyamanu v'gi'anu l'zeman hazeh. You learn something, finally, that you didn't know. That the Zohar HaKadosh is telling you something that's incredible. That really Avraham, that David HaMelech alav shalom, is an extension from the Avot. Of course, the question that we have is obvious. We learned over the years that it's not Avotenu HaKedoshim that were the sponsors for the life of David, but it was actually Adam HaRishon who was the sponsor. And that's also, by the way, in the piece of Zohar HaKadosh. As a matter of fact, it's not that far away from this piece that I just read. It's actually the piece right before it. Rabbi Shimon Amar, Ha Itmar de David Malka I want to tell you something about reading Zohar HaKadosh. You know that a lot of times I don't read the text. I just tell it to you outside. But when you read Zohar HaKadosh, it cleanses the soul. There's certain pieces of Torah that are able to get into the soul of a person and wipe away the grime of the sins, even if you don't understand it. That's why whenever you have a chance to read a piece of Zohar HaKadosh, we like to take advantage of that opportunity, because just the reading of the words has a cleansing factor. Rabbi Shimon Amar Ha'itmar, it says that David Malka Adela Vela, before he was born, La Vela Hayim Klal, he had no life. Bar de Adam Kadma'a Yahavle Shim'in Shinin Medile, except for the fact that Adam Rishon gave him 70 years from himself. V'kachaya ki yumed de David Malka, and that's how David existed. Shiv'in shenin avo. And Adam HaRishon, as we know, should have lived to 1,000 years. That was the original plan. And he only lived to 930. And where's the missing 70 years? That's the donation that he made. V'kiyumad de Adam kadma'a 1,000 shenin. Hasir shiv'in. David, Adam HaRishon lived 1,000 minus 70. Ishtakahu. So in the 1,000 years between the 930 of Adam HaRishon and David HaMelech, you have the 1,000 years. The Mefarshim actually say that when God warned Adam HaRishon, God warned him and said, on the day that you eat from the tree, Biyom Acholcha Min Ha'etz, on the day that you eat from the tree, if you eat from the tree, mot temutun, you will die. Now that didn't happen. On the day that he ate from the tree, he lived. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did something which was a big kindness to Adam HaRishon. You see, God did say on the day, but he didn't tell Adam whose day. You see, our day is a 24-hour day. But God's day is 1,000 years. That's what the Pasuk says. Ki elef shanim ve'enecha kiyom. God has a different calculation. Now, Adam HaRishon was nervous. Whose years is he going to count? Whose day? God said, because you made teshuvah for 130 years, because you rectify yourself as best as you could be, I'm going to count the day as my day. So you have 1,000. However, when he started to show Adam the different generations, Adam saw in the future the neshama of David, who incidentally, I have over here a sefer called Sefer HaLikutim from the Arizal. And Sefer HaLikutim writes, וכן דוד המלך עליו השלום שהיה גלגול אדם הראשון. אדם and David were גלגולים. So when Adam saw David, he saw that he's connected to this neshama. So he said, dear God, this is a neshama that's connected to me. Why do you only give him a few hours? This is my business. I don't tell my business to other people. So Adam says, but can I make a donation? God says, absolutely. How much you want to participate? I have 1,000, correct? Is that you have 1,000? Well, I will give 70. The Zohar HaKadosh says, why was David supposed to die? Arizal says, why was David supposed to die on the day that he was born? Because since he was the Gilgul of Adam HaRishon, God said, listen, I explained the word Hayom for you to mean 1,000 years. But somebody's going to have to pay the literal meaning of Hayom, which means the day. And therefore David was supposed to die on the day, the same day, in order to rectify the sin of Adam HaRishon. God was going to interpret it both ways. Hayom Elef for Adam and Hayom Mamash for David, the Gilgul of Adam. But because Adam was generous, he said to God, I'm willing to give 70 years. David HaMelech would be very thankful to his donor, Adam HaRishon. As a matter of fact, there's a certain mizmor, a song that we sing on Shabbat. It's called Mizmor Shir Deyom HaShabbat. David HaMelech, it's one of his tehillims. In that tehillim, he says the following, Ki simachtani Adonai b'fa'olecha b'ma'aseh yadecha adanen. I see you know this pasuk. What does the pasuk say? David HaMelech says, I am so happy and thrilled b'fa'olecha, with your product. Which product? Your work. B'ma'aseh yadecha, the product that you created with your own hands. The only product, the only human that God created with his own hands was Adam HaRishon. Everybody subsequently was born. So David HaMelech says, Ki simachtani Adonai b'fa'olecha b'ma'aseh yadecha adanen. I'm so happy of ma'aseh yadecha, because if it wasn't for that man you created with your own hands, I wouldn't have any life. So therefore David HaMelech was very appreciative. As the Arizal writes, Shi'im lo ken, lo ayu lo hayim klal, ve'lo yatsa David le'olam. But David HaMelech would not have come to the world. Well, now we have over here an understanding on why, when Adam was threatened or warned, I should say, by God, that on the day that you eat from the tree, motimutun, it says it twice, you will die twice. One, you will die as Adam, and then you will die as David, because you have over here an extension. So therefore it's motte mutun, it's a double death. And of course, since David, well, here's where we have the question. Make up your mind, who was the donor? Was it Adam or was it the Avot? Ladies, you want to get back to me? We'll end the class now. You'll get back to me next week. You'll take a vote. You'll tell me what you came up with. I have no problem. I have a theory. Ladies, only because the time is short, so I don't want to hold back your expression, but nonetheless, I will tell you what I found from the great Saddiqim. The great Saddiqim says something, two answers that I find incredible. One answer they actually say is, and this is the Ben Ish Chai, Ben Yehoyada Masechet Shabbat, Daf Lamed Aleph. Over there the Ben Ish Chai says, he says, the Yadua, She'adam HaRishon Natan Lo Ayin Shana. It's true, Adam HaRishon gave him 70 years. Ach b'shvil shenitharet alehem. But he regretted it. He regretted it. The Ben Ish Chai says, when Adam became 930, nobody wants to die. Doesn't matter how long you live. At the time that he said it, he was 130. So I'm going to live 1,000? Okay, 70 years, take it. It doesn't seem like anything. But once you get to 929, and it's the day before your 930th birthday, and you realize that you just gave 70 years to some neshama in the future, so it says that Adam HaRishon started to have second guess. He had regrets. So the Ben Ish Chai says, so therefore stepped up Natnudo Avraham v'Yaakov v'Yosef, and therefore they stepped up to make sure that, you know, if Adam HaRishon actually regretted, it's covered. So the Ben Ish Chai says almost like an insurance. If Adam HaRishon doesn't want to give it, they stepped up and said, we're going to take care of it anyway, so it'll be handled. I saw over here an amazing perush to pesukim that we say every day in the tefillah. The pasuk says like this: Al tiftihu bin divin bin adam she'en lo teshua. David HaMelech says, and he could say this, you can't trust people. Al tiftihu bin divin. Even if the person is very, very successful and very rich, Al tiftihu bin divin. Who was he talking about? Adam HaRishon. He said, Adam HaRishon promised me 70 years. And then what does David say? Ben Adam, she'en lo teshua. Ben Adam, no salvation comes from him. He's an Indian giver. He gave them to me and then he pulled them back. So according to this, that would be one theory. However, what is more exciting to me is the theory that I saw brought down in the Sefer called Midbar Kedemot. In order to understand this, what Midbar Kedemot says, I know a lot of you ladies did not join the new cycle of Daf Yomi. Nor did I expect you to join. It's enough that you come to this class. But maybe some of your husbands or your relatives have started the new cycle, which actually started this week, Parashat Vayechi. And in the beginning of Daf HaYomi, Berachot, page 3, which is actually the second page of Shas, there the Gemara has a whole expose on David HaMelech Alav HaShalom. And it tells us about the schedule of David HaMelech. And one of the things it says, which is hard to believe, but it says even though he was a king, and even though he had tremendous responsibilities, and he needs obviously his strength, it says he very rarely slept. As a matter of fact, it says, according to one opinion, he really didn't sleep more than either a few minutes or a few hours a day. And even when he was sleeping, it wasn't really considered sleeping. It was mitnamnem. Mitnamnem means like dozing. And Rashi writes that even when he was dozing, Haya Osek BaTorah. So really, David HaMelech was a 24-hour Jew, if that's possible. He, when you talk to somebody who lives a full life, he lived a full life day and night. As a matter of fact, it says at midnight, he already was up for the day. Hatzot Laila Akum Nehodot Lach. Before midnight, maybe he dozed a little. But once midnight came, boom! He had a kinor, a harp on top of his bed. Even Siddiqim needed an alarm clock. And he got up, and he would stay up until the next night. So Rav Hida says, and what was he doing at night? Says he was learning. He was learning. I want to tell you what he was learning. It's important to know what David HaMelech represents to the Jewish people. Of course, David HaMelech is the tikkun of Adam HaRishon as well. He's living on those years of Adam HaRishon, if you believe that Adam did not take them back. That's why David HaMelech, what does it say? David Melech Israel, what was his purpose? Hay v'kayam, to bring the world back to Hay v'kayam. Adam HaRishon brought the world to death. Yaakov Avinu, who donated years to David HaMelech, or to Adam HaRishon, David, Yaakov Abinu is a tikkun of Adam, and David, what does he say? Yaakov Lomet. Yaakov Abinu and David HaMelech have the same concept. Yaakov also is Lomet, and David HaMelech is Chai B'Kayam. And they're both connected to the same people. Be very clear. Yaakov is connected to Adam. Yaakov donated years to David. Yaakov, Adam, David, they're all connected to each other in one way or another, in borrowed years, all to make the tikkun of Adam. What did David HaMelech do at night? He learned. I want to tell you that David HaMelech's learning, according to the way we understand, I don't know how to explain this to you. I'll just say the answer. It's Torah Sheba'al Peh. Torah Sheba'al Peh is the oral tradition. There's two books. There's Torah Shebichtav, the written law, and Torah Sheba'al Peh. The Gemara says primarily at night, the nights were given to study Torah Sheba'al Peh. In the day, the people study Torah Shebichtav, but at night is Torah Sheba'al Peh. And David HaMelech committed himself to that study of Torah Sheba'al Peh. It's no coincidence that when we start Torah Sheba'al Peh in Gemara Berachot, it tells us about the diligence of David HaMelech, how he would stay up nights poring over Torah Sheba'al Peh. What I'm telling you now, you might not understand, but somebody listening might. Each one of the tzaddikim corresponds a different sefirah. Avraham is Chesed, Yitzhak is Gevurah, Yaakov is Tiferet, Moshe and Aharon is Nesach and Hod, Yosef is Yesod, David is Malchut. Well, I know why he's Malchut. He's the Melech. Each one of the Avot is represented on a different part of the body. The Zohar HaKadosh writes, Patach Aliyahu, Chesed is the right arm, Gevurah is the left arm, Tiferet is the body, Nesach and Hod are the two legs, Yesod is the Brit Milah, Malchut, Peh. And Eliyahu Nabi says, Malchut, the king, represents Peh. What is Peh? The mouth. Torah Sheba'al Peh, Karinan La. Torah Sheba'al Peh. Yaakov Abinu, David HaMelech Alav HaShalom, is Peh. He is the symbol in Judaism of Torah Sheba'al Peh. He studied it every night. He didn't sleep as he committed himself to this learning. Who's
the symbol?
David? David is Malchut. I'm reading from Patach Eliyahu. Malchut Peh. Malchut is the Peh. Torah Sheba'al Peh Karinan La. What Peh? Torah Sheba'al Peh. The Torah that's transmitted by the mouth. Based on this, lady says the Chida, a tremendous Hiddush. And you were right. David needed both donations. Because most people, they only live in the day. At night, they sleep. So the living years of a person are the years that he's up, that he's awake. In the case of David HaMelech, it's true, on the calendar, he lived 70 calendar years. However, since he never slept at night, he was actually, in those 70 years, he lived 70 times two. He lived 70 years by day and 70 years by night. Says Rav Chida, Im ken, I'm reading the words. Shedavid HaMelech Alav HaShem lo haya yashen klal. He never slept. Ve'lo ta'am ta'am mita. He never tasted the taste of death. Because when a person sleeps, it's the taste of death. He wanted to fix the tikkun of Adam Rishon of death. V'nimsa shechai ayin shanim min hayamim ve'ayin shanim mehalelot. He lived 70 years of day and 70 years of night. So David lived actually 140 years. But it wasn't 140, it's 70 times 2. So he needed actually both donations in order. Now if that's the case, I now understand some of the mazim, some hints. That's your guess is as good as mine. If I had to guess, I would have to guess that since the, in Judaism, so I would have to assume Adam gave the nights and Avotenu and Kiddushim gave the day. But again, I have no proof to that, just what I just said. That being said, ladies, now I start to understand that when we start to read Perashat Vayechi, which is the end of Yaakov Avinu's life, The end of Yaakov Avinu's life actually is the end not only of his life, but when his life ends at 147, somebody's life is also finished. Because Avraham would give 5 years. Yosef would give the 33 years, and Yaakov Avinu would give 28. So when Al Pasuk says, "Vayhi Yaakov ve'eres Mitzrayim," there is a connection between Yaakov and David HaMelech alav shalom. That's why the Haftarah has no problem to discuss Vayikrebu Yemei David. There is a connection because the life of David actually came from. So therefore, when you read about the death of Yaakov, you have to ask yourself, why did he die so young at 147? He should have lived at least to the age of his grandfather. Oh, because he was thinking down the road. Yaakov Avinu had to make sure that King David, who represents Torah Sheba'al Peh, will live. Now, if that's the case, we see something else. Rav Hida tells us that actually Adam HaRishon's neshama traveled to three people. Adam was the first one to have his neshama. And then it went to David. And then it's eventually going to come to Mashiach. Mashiach also makes the tikkun of Adam HaRishon. That's why one of Mashiach's primary functions is to make Tehiyat HaMetim, to resurrect the dead. Anybody that's connected to the tikkun of Adam HaRishon is involved in Lomet, David Melech Yisrael Hai Bekayam, or involved in the concept of Tehiyat HaMetim. And therefore Adam's journey starts from page 1 and eventually travels to the Tanakh to David HaMelech for 70 years, and eventually is going to land at the final redemption of the Mashiach. And the Chachamim tell us that if that's the case, and I'm quoting now Rav Hida, and Rav Hida says, Ki ya'an David HaMelech alav ha'shalom haya gilgul Adam HaRishon, since he's fixing Adam HaRishon, he cannot sleep at night because he wanted to fix the tikkun. Therefore, he learned all night. He learned. And as a result, there's a connection between David HaMelech and Adam and Yaakov Avinu, David HaMelech and Adam HaRishon. If we go now to the last words of last week's parasha, actually, Rabbi Yaakov Abu Hasera says this, and I quote, you must give him the credit. I quote from the Rav, Odef Shah. שבאל דרמוז, שיוסף נתן משנותיו לדוד המלך, יוסף gave 37 years, וכתבנו שהמתנה שנתן נתנה בשמחה ובטוב לב, he gave it willingly, והטעם כי דוד המלך עליו השלום הוא בחינת המלכות, דוד is the king, and the מלכות is the משיח. So therefore he says, רק מה שנתנו לו הצדיקים הללו, אברהם ויעקב ויוסף, they established the מלכות, they established the משיח. And therefore he says, וזה סמיכות תיבת מאוד לתיבת ויחי. He says, because if you take the last letter of מאוד, it's a דלת. And if you take the last letter of ויחי, it's a יוד. That's Yud Dalet, the Sofet Tevot de Meod, the Sofet Tevot de Vahim Yud Dalet, and Yud Dalet is Gematria David. Lirmoz, the Yaakov Natan le David Mehayav. And how much did he give? Vahi. If you take the word Vahi, Het, Yud is 28. And therefore the Pasuk is coming to tell us that there is a concept of Meod. What's the concept of the Me'od? The Me'od is the Dalet of the Me'od. Or Me'od can stand for Mashiach, Adam, David. That this Tikkun of Me'od was established by Yaakov Abinu in giving the 28 years. When I saw this, ladies, I saw that Rabbi Yaakov Abu Hasera looked at David HaMelech's name and he saw the number 14. When I see David, I don't see the number 14, but he said yes. And look at that, he took the Me'od, the Dalid, and the Vayhi. And he said, oh, Yaakov Abinu was fixing Tikkun David HaMelech. That's why the Haftarah. Incidentally, if you count how many words are in this week's parasha, which somebody does that for us at the end of every parasha, he counts how many words. Actually, they count how many pesukim. Take a guess how many pesukim you think are in this week's parasha. 85 pesukim. Gematria peh. Vesimanach peh el peh. Why would there be 85 pesukim peh el peh? And now I come to tell you what I came to say today, which I believe is a great omen for what's coming in the future. I don't think it's a coincidence that we started the 14th cycle of Daf Yomi this Sunday, which is the beginning of Parashat Vayechi. These cycles are really established from decades ago. It's just every single day. You can't plan it. The 14th cycle, that means they've been doing this for 13 times. This is the 14th time that Klai Yisrael would get together in order to go through Shas, the 14th time, collectively. And they do that in Parashat Vayechi. No coincidence that the letters, the Pesukim in Parashat Vayechi is Peh. And the Siman is Peh El Peh, because we start to learn the Torah Sheba'al Peh, which is given over mouth to mouth. It's given over verbally, orally. Torah Sheba'al Peh is hinted in Parashat Vayechi, for good reason. Because it's in Parashat Vayechi that Yaakov Avinu is the symbol of Torah, the Yaakov Ishtam, Yosef Ohalim, he gives of his years to David. Like Rabbi Yaakov Abu Hasera said, Me'od Vayechi, Yudalid, Gematria David. And David HaMelech spent his life staying up, studying Torah Sheba'al Peh. And the Gemara says that the Jewish people will be redeemed in the merit of the study of Torah Sheba'al Peh. I am making not a prediction, because I'm not on the level to make predictions. But I'd like to make an educated guess. And my educated guess is that I believe that if this is the 14th cycle of Torah Sheba'al Peh, this is the cycle that's keneged David. And if this is the cycle that's keneged David, that it is in this cycle of the study of Torah Sheba'al Peh, after all the euphoria that's gone on in the world, after the last cycle, that it is this cycle that Be'ezrat Hashem is going to usher in the Tikkun of Adam, David, and Mashiach. Recently, I heard from Rabbi Yaakov Ades. It's interesting to note, the Siyum HaShas was on a Wednesday night. The next night, the Americans killed a very, very high-level terrorist, Soleimani, Shem Yishalim Yirkav, and they killed him the night after. I thought in my mind there has to be a connection between the fact that we finished the Shas, and then all of a sudden, because it says that Vayhi ben Soa Aaron, that when the Aaron is lifted, Bnei Yisrael would say, Kuma Hashem v'yafutzu oyebecha, God rise up and let all your enemies dissipate. The Yaakov Ades from the Kotel, he said that actually if you take the gematria of the words Suleimani and the words Midaf Hayomi from the Daf Hayomi, it's exactly the same. And therefore you see, and I did the calculation and I think I know how he came to it, but nonetheless you do see that our Torah, especially now that we're in the 14th cycle, which is Keneged David HaMelech, David is Keneged Our Torah is like the Torah of Yaakov Avinu, like the Meshech Chokma said. His impact is not only on Goshen. His impact is Bechol Eretz Mitzrayim. His impact is over the whole world. And it is fair to say that if you look at the end of this week's Haftarah, the end of the Haftarah, it ends with the following word, Ushlomo Yashav Al Kiseh David, and King Solomon sat on his father's chair. Batikon Malchuto Me'od. The Haftarah ends with the word Me'od. I think the Haftarah was trying to remind you, don't forget this week's parasha, but don't forget the word Me'od from last week's parasha also, because it's connected. As I told you, the Haftarah always gives you what the theme of the parasha is. The theme of the parasha is not only what's written in this week's parasha, but don't forget the word Me'od that comes from last week's parasha, because it's coming to connect not only Adam, Otiyot Me'od, with Yaakov Abinu, who made the tikkun, but it's coming to make the ultimate tikkun of Me'od, which is Mashiach, who was Adam, who was David, and this started through the process of Avotenu HaKedoshim. Yaakov would live only 147, because he would give 28 years of his life for this tikkun. And David's tikkun was Torah Sheba'al Peh. And as a result, David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayam, he escaped death. And as a result, we say when it comes to the Torah, Kiyem Hayenu. If one wants to escape death, when one studies Torah, he doesn't only bring the escape of death to himself, but to all the surroundings. And it is our prayer, whether we're learning it or whether they're not learning it. But the fact that it's being studied again, and I believe this time by more people than ever, there's a craze going on in the world today, a good craze. It's a euphoria of Torah, of Kiddushah, to start learning Torah Sheba'al Peh. And they're studying it in the day, and they're studying it in the night. And like I said, my educated guess is that I do believe there'll be a 15th Siyum. But I do believe that in 7.5 years, at the 14th Siyum, they're not going to have to worry about who the keynote speaker is. My prediction is it'll be Mashiach ben David himself. Shiyavo b'merabi amenu. Amen.